Welcome to The Author Show, where we feature new authors and books, from fiction to self-help and everything in between. You'll find it all at theauthorshow.com. That's theauthorshow.com. And now let the show begin.
Hello and welcome back to the show. This is your host, Don McCauley. Today we're welcoming program author Mary Moss, and Mary is the author of Woman with the Alabaster Jar. Mary, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, please.
Well, I am an author, poet, speaker in my dream life. And in my day-to-day life, I'm an administrator for a company that manages a large transportation project here in Richmond, Virginia.
So tell us about your book.
My book. Most authors will probably tell you that when they finish a book, it becomes like an appendage of them or like a child. This one especially so. It is a book that shares my journey through the grief of losing my mother to finding healing and eventually finding hope at the end of that journey or in the midst of that journey.
Now, who did you write your book for specifically?
The book is definitely for an adult audience. Predominantly, it's been purchased by females, probably because of the title of the book, and also probably because as a female, I think women are more naturally likely to approach me about the book and how it can benefit them or loved ones in their lives. Initially, I wrote it as a tribute to my mom, but it quickly evolved into the realization that if I was going through this process, it would benefit anybody who was going through the process as well. And so it kind of took on a new life, and I became more, I guess, enthusiastic about it in my desire to help others who were in the grief process.
Is there a minimum reading age for the book?
There really isn't. I would say probably it would be for an adult audience, someone at least college age or post high school, because some of the topic, the beginning of the book is a little deep for someone who probably hasn't had much life experience. So definitely for adults, but any age range.
Could you say there's any type of central message or perhaps underlying theme that you would say runs throughout your book?
Yes, definitely. The theme throughout the book is that even in the midst of grief and as we travel beyond the grief journey, there is hope and healing on the other side, and life becomes just a new normal with hope and healing.
So if you had to choose, what would you say is the single most important idea you're sharing in your book that's really going to add value to the reader's life?
I would say the main idea that would add value is just that there is hope and healing after the grief. We don't feel like that in the midst of grief, but I think it's beneficial for people to know that it is possible for them to have that hope and healing as they read through it. That's what other readers have told me.
If you could compare your book with any book out there we might already be familiar with, which book would it be and why?
I asked several of my friends about that in preparation for this interview. And while the style is somewhat unique in the way it's laid out, someone who's read both of my books multiple times said that she had the same feeling as when she was reading books by Stormy O'Martian.
Tell us more about the content of the book.
The book is set up in three parts of my grief journey that I think is a pretty common experience for most people through some of the training I've had and through life experiences. It has scripture, poetry, original poetry, and then short devotional type writings to explain the feelings that are pretty typical, I think, through the grief process.
Could someone who's not a Christian benefit from reading this book?
That's a great question, and I wondered about that myself. I actually received a review on Amazon just this past week from someone who indicated that she was not particularly religious, but that she benefited greatly from sharing my faith and the journey that I went through. So I was very gratified by that.
What's been your most rewarding experience since publishing your book?
What I just mentioned, and also the outpouring of people who said, as I read the book, I found myself nodding yes, yes. And one in particular indicated that as I read the book, I found that your words were the words I could not even form when I was in the midst of this journey. So that's very gratifying to know that I'm helping other people through my painful experience.
Now, did your environment or upbringing play any major role in your writing?
It certainly did. Most of my writing centers around my faith or is formed by my faith, which I was brought up to in a home full of faith was the central core of our life and all of our activity centered around the church. I also come from a long line of writers and wordsmiths, and one of the earliest memories I have is of my mom telling me to go look it up in the dictionary when I wanted to know how to spell a word way back in the olden days before we had internet or anything else, and we had to use books called dictionaries. So that's where my love of words was formed.
So how would you describe your writing style?
It's very much a narrative style. All of my writing tells a story and draws the writer from beginning to climax to end. So very much a storytelling with some little bit of teaching interwoven there.
How long did it take you to write the book?
Well, I say it took 5 years, but that's not true. That was the grief process. I actually spent about 6 months making a firm commitment that I was going to write the book. So it took 6 months from concept to when I considered it done.
Most authors have a primary reason for writing a book. What was your reason for writing this book?
I wanted to turn the painful experience that I had, the getting lost in the grief, into a positive thing that could sort of be a cautionary tale for others to not stay in the grief and to move past it into a new way of living.
So how do you actually do that?
One way that I do it is, first of all, I'm very honest and open with all of my experiences. From the very beginning, I share my pain. I share the grief in some pretty raw ways. I don't sugarcoat it, but I also intersperse the hope that is possible from the very beginning. And I think that was possible because of my faith upbringing. But even when I didn't feel connected with God, I used scripture and some of my past writings about how my faith had helped me to accomplish that.
What's the significance of the alabaster jar?
That's one of my favorite scripture. The woman with the alabaster jar poured out expensive oils and scents onto Jesus to anoint him. She then, with her tears, wiped his feet with her hair. And it's just a significance. First of all, she's unnamed in the Bible, and she was giving him a valuable offering of all that she had, her tears and her life, really.
So based on your experience as a writer, what's the one recommendation you would make to authors just starting out?
The one recommendation I would make to authors just starting out is that you just have to start. So many of them have said, oh, I want to write a book, but I don't know where to start. And then I want to do this after I write the book. And I was in that same place. The most important thing is just to start writing and not worry about what's going to happen after you're done writing. First, you have to write. Then you can make your next plan.
What part of this book would you say you personally like best?
That was a really tough one. I would say in the back section of the book, towards the end, a poem that I wrote about my one most ardent unanswered prayer. And I share how I went through the process of begging to have my prayer answered, the prayer that my mother's life would be spared, and then the realization that it was not going to happen. And then ultimately, after she died, I came to the realization that God really did understand my grief, because Jesus asked to have the cup of the crucifixion removed from him if it was God's will. And that was the one prayer that he lifted that was unanswered also. And that was a turning point for me in realizing that I could still have a relationship with God.
Other than selling your book, of course, is there anything else you hope to accomplish with it?
I really want to offer comfort to people who are grieving. A lot of the people who have purchased this book have bought it for a friend or family member or loved one who is in the midst of grief, and they purchase it because they want to help them sort of get through the grief process.
In your opinion, who should buy your book?
I think, again, anyone who is either experiencing grief, and it doesn't matter how long ago. One of the reviewers who read my book said that she had lost her dad 10 years ago, and she still found comfort in reading the book. But predominantly, that most of my sales have been with people who have purchased the book to give friends or loved ones who are grieving.
Do you have a website?
I do. It's divinelydesigned.us.
This has been just great. Our guest today has been Mary Moss, and she is the author of Woman with the Alabaster Jar. Mary, thanks very much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me. I enjoyed it.
This is Don McCauley wrapping up another edition of The Author Show. Listen to some of your favorite authors every day 24/7 by visiting theauthorshow.com. Just click on the book title and the player at the top of the page. These interviews are available to book buyers worldwide on demand. If you'd like to be a guest on the show and feel you could benefit by getting in front of your target audience with a high-quality media interview that will make a real impact, visit theauthorshow.com, fill out the form, and we may be contacting you shortly. You can also visit our audiobook store at theaudiobookmarket.com. Join us here next time for another great book and another exciting author on The Author Show.
Thanks for listening to The Author Show. Find out more about authors and their work at theauthorshow.com. TheAuthorsShow.com. Tune in next time to another great author on The Author Show.